Father, we ask that you help us open our hearts to receive your word today. Lord, we know that there's always a lot of things going on in our mind, and it's easy to be distracted, but we thank you that with the help of your Holy Spirit, we can receive that specific thing, each one of us individually, that we need today from your word. Each one of us have the Holy Spirit living in us to make that very real to us. And then we'll go out of here today closer to you, but especially to have something that's there that we can be working, that can be working in us, a spark that can be working in us, something to do that carries us on farther in your kingdom. And we thank you in the process of that, with your help, lives will be changed. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We are going to go to 1 Timothy 6. Just looking at leafing through the book of 1 Timothy. If you need a Bible, we have lots of those. Just looking through the book of 1 Timothy, you know, you understand that Timothy was a protege of Paul. Paul got him born again, baptized in the Spirit, led him into ministry, took him with him, trained him, and was writing letters to him here to help him. What Paul did is assign Timothy to take over a church that he had started in Ephesus. And as usual, there were interesting times that he lived in. If you have a Bible that has headings over different chapters, if you go look back a little bit, you see some of the things that were going on that Paul was addressing along the way. It was a difficult time, and Ephesus was not, Ephesus was not the Bible Belt, for sure. This young man, Timothy, was one of the things he had to deal with was timidity, easy to remember. He's the one that Paul said to him, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, or you could translate that, God hasn't given us a spirit of timidity or cowardice, but what has he given us? Power and love and a sound mind. Praise God. So Timothy needed that, and he was in a difficult situation. He had to combat false teachers. When you read beginning of chapter 4, demonic teachers even, influenced by the dark side, teaching wrong things. Everywhere Paul went, he got people straightened out, and then people followed up and tried to change their minds about things, and part of Timothy's assignment was to stay there and help him change. He had to deal with clashes. There's a lot of different classifications of people at that time, slaves and owners and all those different things, and Timothy apparently had those different ones in his church in Ephesus and had to learn how to help them get along together. That's really a lot of times the challenge of being a church leader. Come on, everybody, let's just get along. Let's flow with each other. Let's not be mad at each other. And I know that in my heart, that one of the things that bothers me the most is when people just can't get along. Let's get along. Let's flow with each other. Are we going to agree all the time? Absolutely not. They're just different personalities, different temperaments, different ways of looking at things, different. Our training's been different, but we can get along, praise God. And you know what? It takes a purpose to do that. It isn't just going to happen. If you just go with the flow, you're going to find something that's going to separate you. Even if you don't go around mad all the time, just the fact that you won't fellowship and you won't, take part of what's going on, puts you in a position to not be as valuable to the kingdom of God. This God loves people no matter where they are, loves us no matter where we are. Certainly we are forgiven, certainly healing and deliverance, all those things available to us, but you can see where he would need for us to be together, to flow together to get things done. So there's a lot of overlooking stuff and just saying, well, that's not all that important. It's okay. We can get along. He had to choose church leaders, which is always fun. Put people in positions of eldership and deacons and so on. And the world around him at the time was in a pretty chaotic situation. And when you think about all that, it sounds like today. Sounds like what we deal with today. And in the midst of all that is this phrase that I want to deal with that we're going to read in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Godliness with contentment is great gain. I want to start reading in verse 3 so we can kind of get a sense of the text here, the context. Paul said in verse 3, 1 Timothy 6, if anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, or you could translate that godliness teaching, or proper attitude towards God teaching, sounds like what most teaching should be, amen? Verse 4, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such withdraw yourself. I was just saying about how we need to get along with each other, but there are situations where we do need to give people some distance because you can also be negatively affected by situations. And what, like I was saying, was what they dealt with, what Paul and Timothy and different ones dealt with at the time, was people wanted to wander in and change the focus of a church and change the truth to something else. They people want followers. People want to be right and make everybody else wrong. And, you know, there's still a lot of that today. A lot of that today. So there are certain people that, you know, you can be nice to. You don't have to be mad at. You certainly don't want to walk in unforgiveness towards, but you don't want to let them have influence in your life. Does that make sense? All right. Now, verse 6, when godliness with contentment is great gain. I'm going to get back to that. We'll read a couple more verses here. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. How many know that that's obvious? If you might love your car or your phone or your boat or whatever it is, but it ain't going with you. When you leave, it's staying here. Verse 8, and having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. That's really the same word as contentment that we're going to look at. And it means to have enough strength. And I think you'll understand that more as we talk about it. Verse 9, but those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. This is a restless craving to be rich. A restless craving to be rich. How many believe that God wants us to be well off? God wants to prosper. There's a difference between understanding that and a restless craving to be rich. This a person that this given has yielded themselves to that is, it's like whatever that takes. Anything that it takes, I'm going to do. If I have to cheat, if I have to hurt somebody, if I have to walk on something, whatever I have to do, I'm going to be rich. And a lot of times the bottom line desire is because I don't want to trust God. I just want to have so much that I don't want to trust God that I just have enough laid aside. Interesting that in the day we live in, you could have lots laid aside and still not be in a real good position as far as, you know, things can happen really quick in the day that we live. So you know what? We better learn to trust God. You know, banks are nice and all that stuff, but we need to learn to trust God. Verse 10, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, which some have strayed from the faith and into their greediness and pierced them through with many sorrows. Love of money, actually phileo of silver. It's not the agape, obviously, but the word phileo is get your pleasure from silver. And, you know, remember, it doesn't say money is the root of all evil. It says the love of money. Money is a tool. We need money. You have to have some of that to operate here. And if you have some more, you can usually operate a little better and get some more done. So it's not about some people that really, you know, try to drive that home. Are ones that are after money as much as anybody else. It's where we don't want to get our pleasure from things. We can get our pleasure from serving God. Amen. Now, back to verse 6. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Let me take the end of this first because I think The draw here is the great gain. Praise God. There's a promise here. There's an indication of good things. Great gain. Mega. The word great is mega. Sounds good. Big. Gain. And gain means acquisition. It also has the idea of a means of getting acquisition. So godliness with contentment is a mega means of bringing stuff in. It's a good way to get the things that we need and even desire if we keep this godliness and contentment thing going. So does that sound good? Godliness and contentment? All right, so it's probably worth looking into then. Godliness. What comes to mind when you think of godliness? Tell me something that comes to mind when you think of godliness. Like God, that's where the word came from, God-likeness. Wayne, do you have your hand up? Purity. Sorry, somebody back there said something? Perfection? Love? Kindness? Holiness? Powerful, yes. Trusting? Didn't catch that one. Love again? Praise God. See, it's just, there's probably no end to the words that we could come up with to be like God. What was that? Good manners, yes. Am I doing all right so far? Okay. Praise God. So, you know, godliness, godlikeness. The actual word means reverence, respect, and piety towards God. Godlikeness, a Godward attitude. A person who is going to do that which is well-pleasing to God. That God is important in a person's life, important enough in a person's life that they want to do what pleases him. I think we could agree that just because you're a Christian doesn't mean that you live like that. God can be your God in a sense. Jesus could be your Savior, and yet pleasing him could be way down the list. Once I get me straightened out, things around me, and then we'll see if we have some time for God. In fact, it's probably way too often that it's that way amongst the children of God. So obviously we've got some work to do on ourselves. We are right on the inside. We just got to transform into what God has already made us. Godly person will have the right attitude towards God and conducts his life with that attitude. Right attitude towards God and conducts your life around that attitude. Hold your place there. Well, you just keep that phrase in mind. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Go to 2 Peter, way back towards the back of your Bible. It should be 2 Peter chapter 1. And look at verse 2, 3, and 4. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 2. All right, still your page turning. Got there? Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Grace and peace be multiplied. That's something that Paul said a lot and Peter said a lot. Do you know how big that is to have grace and peace be multiplied to you? God's ability in us to do what we couldn't do on our own? How big is peace? How big is peace? Multiply. As his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who has called us by glory and virtue, or excellence, by which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, or the word of God, that through these you might be partakers of the divine nature, which the things that make God, God, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So, we have been given all things that pertain to life, Zoe, and godliness. So any time that I might be tempted to think, I see that I really need to be more godly, but I don't think I can do it, I'm already, wrong, because all things have been given to me that pertain to life and godliness. So I have in me, and you have in you, as a born-again child of God, everything that you need to live this way. It's not like something great on the outside has to happen. All the things that we need are in there. And my part as a pastor is just to remind us that it's like Prego. It's in there. All the ingredients are in there that we need. Now, let's go. Let's think now about contentment. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Contentment is not probably what we think it is from a certain aspect. A perfect condition of life in which no aid or support is needed. Independent of external circumstances, self-sufficient, not needing more to be happy and joyful. Let me read that again. A perfect condition of life in which no aid or support is needed. Doesn't mean that we don't need God. It means we've got Him, so on the inside, we have everything that we need. Independent of external circumstances, self-sufficient, not needing more to be happy and joyful. And so the opposite of that discontent would be a restless craving for what you don't have. If I just had that, if this would just change, if I had that relationship, if I had that job, if I had that thing, if I had that car, if I didn't have that, if this was out of my life, that was into my life, then if I can get to that place, everything will be okay. And yet God is saying, Holy Spirit's saying, godliness with contentment is great gain right where we are. If I could just get those bills paid. I mean, think about what is it in your life that tries to come into that place? If it's just this one thing, or maybe it's a couple of things, if I could just get that changed. If I could just lose the weight, if I could just gain the weight, if I could just. And yet, godliness with contentment. Great gain. The Amplified Bible just says it this way, a sense of inward sufficiency. Everything that I have is in there. Everything that I need in the situation is already in there. I don't, the government doesn't have to make a new law, I'll still be okay. The government does not change all the law. I can be okay no matter who gets elected for president next. I'll be all right. I'll be all right. It's probably a pretty good faith statement when it comes down to it. No matter who is running New York State, it'll be okay. Y'all are quiet. No panic, in other words. No matter what happens, it's okay. Not a problem. You know, things happen sometimes and it isn't what we would have chosen. Talking about government things, they make rules that we certainly wouldn't have chosen, but in the midst of all that, it's okay. God still loves us. We have everything that we need that pertains to life and godliness. It's okay. And godliness with contentment is great gain. Now, let's see where this word is used. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. In verse 8. Contentment. Everybody say contentment. What do you think of when you think of contentment? Yeah. Get a picture in your mind of sitting somewhere quiet and everything's fine. All right. 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able. We used to call this 2 Diane. 9:8. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work. The word sufficiency is the same word as contentment in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. God is able to make all grace abound towards you, always that you always having all contentment, all sufficiency, may have an abundance for every good work. The Amplified says, and God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance so that you may always and under all circumstances and whatever the need be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. I got to read that last part again. that you may always and under all circumstances and whatever the need be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. I guess you could say, one thing you could say is, if I don't have it, I can get it. If it's not on tap right now, it's available to me. All our needs, supplies all our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. It's an attitude of life, isn't it? When you have that attitude, it's okay. If you don't have that attitude, life is bumpy. Life is difficult. There's going to be challenges. But when you have godliness, the right attitude towards God, and an attitude of contentment, life is going to be okay. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 11. Apparently Paul knew something about this contentment thing. Philippians 4:11. Paul said, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I've learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, to abound and to suffer need, and do all things through Christ who strengthens me." I think, you know, if you know anything about Paul's life, you know he understood what it meant to be abased and how to be about, how to abound. He goes through, I think it's in 2 Corinthians 11, all the things that he went through, 3 times shipwrecked, beaten with rods. Man, he knew how to be abased. But he also knew how to abound. He came into one city, and him and the guy that was that Silas that was with him, they wanted to worship him. It was gods. And, you know, he was lifted up, appreciated by a lot of Christians and so on. He was around the rulers of the time and knew him well. So he lived on both sides of these things, had more than he needed, and he had less than he needed. And in the midst of all that, he learned something. He learned something. Something that we probably need to learn. I've noticed this over the years with myself and with other people. It seems like people tend to fall on one side of this or the other. Some people, if it's an abasing situation, if it's a difficult situation, that they don't do well. When they don't have the things that they need on hand, they can barely function. And then if they can find some way to scrape it together and get things, then they can function again. And you know, there are other people that they don't do well when things are going well. You get a little bit too much set aside. I mean, think about all the athletes who all of a sudden have all this stuff. I was watching a show one time on ESPN and talking about these guys. All of a sudden, they've got these millions of dollars, and they're trying to outdo each other, and then pretty soon it's all gone. They don't do well when they're abounding. So, but according to the things of God, we can do well either way. You get a raise, you don't get the raise, it's still okay. Then get the job that you wanted, did get the job that you wanted, it's still okay. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Here's the way it says it in the Amplified. In the middle of verse 11, pick it up. "For I have learned how to be content, satisfied to the point where I am not disturbed or disquieted in whatever state I am in. I know how to be abased and how to live humbly in straitened circumstances, and I know how to enjoy plenty and live in abundance. I have learned in any and all circumstances the secret of facing every situation, whether well-fed or going hungry, having sufficiency to spare or going without and being in want." Paul learned, it's the way it says in the Amplified, the secret. He learned the secret. And praise God, he's going to share it with a Philippian church. And then the Holy Spirit saw that we would get to share that secret too. Apparently, you know, we can say this too, that godliness with contentment is a learned response. It's not something that we just, oh, I got that down. It's you don't fall into it like falling off a log. You have to learn how to be abased and how to abound and still be okay. You have to learn how to follow God with all your heart and be content in the process when not everything's working out. It's something you have to learn. The secret to be learned. It requires apparently an inner strength. An inner strength. Some people that seem very weak on the outside can be really strong on the inside. And vice versa. And the secret is verse 13. Amplified Bible says, I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. That is, I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. It's worth having an Amplified Bible just for that verse, isn't it? Let me read it again. I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. Who empowers me? Christ does. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. That is, I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. See, this contentment being self-sufficient is not self-sufficient in myself, but self-sufficient in him, in me. Christ in me, the hope of glory, praise God. I live in him and he lives in me. And the more that we get a revelation of that and what that means, the more inner strength that we have, the more we have to tap into. The tank is full. How many times have we walked around and thought the tank is just about empty? I don't know if anything else happens. I think I'm just about ready to throw in the towel. We're not supposed to walk around that way. Inner strength being poured into it. It's a tapping in. There's a scripture in, I think it's Zechariah in the Old Testament, the prophet talked about. When you go through an amplified translation, we are the flame of God is on the inside. Let me make this a Wayne paraphrase. We've got this flame that's alive. It's alive unto God, and the flame is fed with oil, and we have a tank of oil. I'll make this totally in my paraphrase, and the oil is hooked to a reservoir. And the reservoir is hooked to a tree, an olive tree. So there is a never-ending supply of oil that's available to us. No matter what the situation, there is something that we can tap into that gets us through. And I got to get this in my own heart. It's not coping. It's not, well, I can get through this. I can cope with life. It's conquering. It's overcoming. I'm not just going to limp through and get to the other side. I'm going to go through or over or around, but I'm going to the other side and I'm going victoriously to the other side because there's this inner strength in me. There's a ongoing supply of oil. The Holy Spirit is the oil, praise God. The Word of God in me is the oil and the water, the cleansing and causes everything to work in the process of all that. I'm okay. I'm all right. It's going to work out. I don't know how sometimes. I don't have to figure out how. I like to know how myself, but it's going to be all right. Jamie.
Something that happened a few weeks ago that just really stirred in me. We went camping, and Ellie climbed a mountain for the first time. And while we were going up, you know, she felt really confident because, you know, you can kind of see she's just taking one step at a time and she's going for it. But when we started to come back down, I mean, even I would like look ahead on the trail and a little bit of anxiety would come up and I would had images of her like missing a step and then tumbling over and, you know, and so I'm like, okay, that is not of God. I'm not going to entertain those thoughts. And Josh was in the lead, and I said to her, just hold your daddy's hand and just follow a step. And I know it's so simple, but we can get so caught up in like what's all around us, the ditch or the rock or anything. You can almost like get your mind so consumed on, oh, I'm going to trip, or oh, this is going to happen. You can look at the news and just get so overwhelmed with, oh my God, you know, I've really got to trust God. I've got to trust him, but that's not really trusting God at all. And so I'm listening to myself say to her, just take your daddy's hand and just follow his step. Just look at him. Don't look ahead. Don't look down. Just look at him. And there's so much peace and so much trust in her. I mean, she was just falling into him like this, completely oblivious to what's around her. And it just melted me in such a way. It's like, yes, I just look at Jesus. Just look at him. It doesn't matter what's happening. Just look at him. Because he, no matter what, if you're looking at him and taking hold of him, he's going to direct your steps. Always, always, always. He's going to direct your steps. And it was just awesome. It's Amen. Awesome.
It's the way it should be. Praise God. As a little child, praise God. Crawl up on God's lap. It's going to be okay. I was thinking that Diane and I went to visit a doctor a few years back and got a really negative report at that particular time. And such that, you know, it looked like, well, it looked bad. And went back out to the car and actually, you know, cried a little bit and thought, this is not good. But there was something, there was someone in the midst of all that, there was, somehow it's going to be okay. And correct me if I'm wrong, I think it's the same doctor that I went to later, and he said, I don't know what you're doing here. I don't know what you're doing here. You don't need to come to me anymore. So you know that God can change things around, that he wants to change things around. But it requires some attitudes in us. Now, think about, you guys can go ahead and get ready. Think about trying to do one without the other. I like kind of thinking in from this standpoint. Godliness without contentment would be joyless and legalistic righteousness. Well, I got to cross all the T's. I got to dot all the I's. It's a, you know, have you ever met a Christian that's a martyr, a living martyr? Poor old me, got to live for God. Contentment without godliness describes a person sadly disconnected from God's truth. Just trying to be content. It's going to be okay. I'll get through somehow. But the connection needs to come from God. Now, thinking about that, a lot of times the little words in a phrase mean a lot more than we think they do. So godliness with contentment. So I thought, I wonder if I can find a more basic definite, which direction is with going? And there were two things, when you look up the word in the Greek, I forget what the word was, but godliness with contentment, it said with or behind. Behind. So now I thought about that. Godliness behind contentment is great gain. That makes a lot of sense to me. Godliness behind contentment. Godliness behind contentment. Godliness behind contentment. If there's godliness behind my contentment, if there's godliness behind my contentment, then there's great gain in that. If there's anything else, I mean, you know, somebody might say drugs are behind my contentment, or this relationship is behind my contentment, or anything else but godliness. A right attitude towards God, a right dependency on God behind my contentment is mega gain. Mega. Let's think about that and continue to worship this morning. Amen?